Sometimes as Christians, we resemble nothing more than a platoon of soldiers who feel like we're surrounded by the enemy and we are hopelessly outnumbered. Sometimes as Christians, that's the way we talk. That's the way we act, and like as if we are here, we are cowering in fear. And on the outside, the devil is winning. He's getting all these victories. And we cower before him, and we're just waiting and praying and hoping that maybe someday, somehow, someone will come to our rescue. But that's not the truth, is it? The truth is that our God is greater than he that is in the world. That was our theme in Sunday school this morning. That's going to be our theme in the morning service today. Sometimes I am so very thankful that as I read the Word of God, that there are some truths. And one of the truths is that Jesus Christ and him coming to this world to redeem mankind was not plan B. You read the Old Testament and God is constantly saying, here is what I'm going to do. My son is going to come to this earth. And he's going to be a sacrifice. There's going to be this Messiah, and he's going to be a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And here's how it's going to be played out. And you get to the Gospels, and you read the disciples' reaction. They didn't understand this till Jesus rose from the dead, and then it all became clear. That was not God's plan B. It was the first plan and his plan of redemption from the foundation of the world. And I kind of get this picture. And today, if there's something I want you to walk away from, is God plays chess while the devil is playing checkers. Okay? I love it. It's almost like you could see the two of them sitting down to a chessboard, and the devil says, Satan, here's how the game is going to go. I'm going to move here, 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 and here. You're going to move there, 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 and there. And then in the end, it's going to blow everybody away when I say checkmate and you're done and you're over with. Now let's get playing. For some reason, the devil participates. That's the biggest mystery to me. Like why? His days are numbered. And in the end, we have to realize that we are a part of God's plan. Aren't you excited that it's not like God said, who do I want to be a part of my family? Who would I like to work in and stir in their heart and have my Holy Spirit reach down and touch them and let them hear the gospel and respond to it? It's not like God said, well, Barack Obama didn't listen, so maybe I'll go ask Scott Wilson. No. Since the foundation of the world, the devil has been playing checkers with mankind, and God is playing chess. It's futile for either man or the devil to think that we can outmaneuver God. God knows and anticipates Satan's every move, and tells him how he's going to win before the battle has even started. Let's just kind of look at it as an example of that. Today I've got the text as 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'd like you to open your Bibles there. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. I love sharing this with children, and we're just taller children, so I love sharing it with us too. But as we read in 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. And the man of God sent the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place which the man of God told him. Thus he warned him, And he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servants of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servants said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots, and full of chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to him, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. So it was, when they had come to Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and there they were, inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Then he prepared a great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. I read that last phrase. And the Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. I don't think I would have gone into the land of Israel again if I was them either. You understand what happened here? I mean, we kind of read that, but let's take a look at the picture. There is this king of the Syrians who wants to be a pain in the neck to Elisha. Don't you ever feel like there's, to the nation of Israel, don't you feel like sometimes there's somebody that just got it out for you and wants to be a pain in your neck? And he wants to send raiders into there and cause trouble and attack the nation of Israel and their works and what they're doing. And God sends the message to Elisha. Says, "Elisha, this is what the Syrian king is going to do." And Elisha tells everybody. So the raiders come, and it doesn't work out in their favor. The Syrian king gets upset. He thinks he has a spy in his group. He starts looking for the spy, and he hears that the guy who's given the message is Elisha. So he says, "Let's go get Elisha." That was a big mistake. Well, did you get that? That's where he went wrong. He tried to go after a man who was close to God. Remember what we've been saying about Elisha? Once you have been in the presence of God, you don't fear a man, you don't fear an army. If you know God, you know you have someone who has your best interest in mind. And you can rely on that. And Elisha could rely on that. And that army came and they surrounded the city of Dothan, and this is where it gets great. The next morning, Elisha's servant gets up and comes and says, "What are we going to do? The Syrians have surrounded us. We're dead meat. We're just sitting here. We're in trouble." And probably the part we remember the most is when Elisha says, Lord, open the servant's eyes, because there are more with us than there are with them. So he opens his eyes and he can see the armies of heaven. Remember, we have the Lord of hosts is our God, the God who commands angel armies. And he's got this all under control. But I love the fact that God doesn't use that angel army to subdue the Syrians. Again, God is playing chess while the devil is playing checkers. Because he's got a big plan here. Elisha prays to God, and all these guys are blinded. And this is where I begin to fall in love. This story just is so endearing. Because he goes out there, and all these guys are struck blind. And Elisha goes, wait, what's going on, guys? And he says, we're looking for Elisha. He says, come here. I'll take you to him. And so he grabs them all. I don't know if they're all hanging on to a rope. We used to, at camp, we did this thing. Charlie Kark, he just walked around the woods at nighttime like it was nothing. And I could walk around the camp at nighttime, but every once back, we used to, a long time ago, we used to take a rope and we'd put like 20 kids on it, and we put Charlie at the beginning, and we just send Charlie off into the woods. I don't know what I was thinking when Charlie... I'd be there at the camp, and Charlie'd be... I don't even know what happened out in the woods. I just remember these kids screaming. I go, my wife's going, he's going to bring them all back, right? And eventually they did. Charlie led them through the... You know, Charlie never had a flashlight. He just led them through the woods and eventually came back terrified. And I don't know. But that's what this would have been like. Here's Elisha. He's saying, come on, guys, come on, let's go. And they're just, okay, we're looking for Elisha. Here, I'll show you him. Brings him right into Samaria. Says, okay, God, open their eyes. And I just picture like a bunch of guys with bows and arrows and swords surrounding them now. And can you imagine? Uh-oh. And I love this story. And the king of Israel says, what should we do? Should we kill these guys? Elisha says, no. Don't kill them. Feed them. Take care of them. Things will be different. Don't you think that if you were one of those soldiers and you just don't you think things would be different from now on? Remember, as the enemy tries to surround you, as the evil one tries to ruin your plans, as you feel like you are under attack, God is playing checkers. The devil is playing checkers while God is playing chess. Right? And we can trust that. And you think that our enemy makes a good move? Don't worry. Because one day God's just going to say, checkmate. And I believe that this goes for the things that happen in our personal life, today, in the present. And I believe that this is something that is going to be the eternal theme, that God is one day going to say, okay, devil, your day is done, checkmate. And it's coming. It's coming fast. I said there, God is playing chess while the devil plays checkers. Elisha assures us, the believer, that our fatalistic outlook is not entirely accurate. We might feel like the devil is winning, like sin is being victorious. But if we were to have Elisha's outlook on things, we might look and see that our enemy is moving pieces. We might turn on the news and go, I can't believe that that is happening. That would happen in a school. that a lawmaker would come up with that idea that this is what is going on in my community. Is sin, is the devil winning? And it might feel like that. We might feel like that servant that says, we're surrounded. And we go, oh no. You hear things like, churches are closing. Yes, there are churches closing. But people are being saved every day. Look around the world and you'll find that the Holy Spirit is at work in a mighty way. And maybe something is happening over here and a church is closing. But over here we'll find that God is at work in a mighty way and people are being saved by the millions. Our God is at work. We might feel that sin is winning in our lives. Get on your knees. Get to know God like Elisha did. Pray. And you'll see that God is at work. Maybe part of why it feels like the devil is winning is that God wants you pray. I know that might be hard to hear, but if we're close to God, we can see that He is at work daily in our lives. If you are like me, which I know many of you are, you might have times in your life where you're sitting here going, God, what's going on? I'm serving you, I'm yours, but why is this happening? This is wrong. This breaks my heart. How can you work? And we lay awake at night and we run these things through our head. But then we have to be reminded. We need things like this in our life. We need to be reminded that God is in control and He'll work. The believer needs endurance in his faith. It's something that we all need and something that we can hang on to. Let's turn over our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. When it feels like the enemy is surrounding us, the devil is attacking, we need endurance in our faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 38, it says, "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and He who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." As I read this verse, I'm not saying that as we are Christians that we won't have problems, that there won't be times where it looks as if the devil is, because remember, the devil's playing checkers, and sometimes he's moving, and sometimes he might jump a piece, and it might seem as if he's winning over here. And trials and tribulations will come. But if the devil is playing checkers, we need to remember that God is playing chess, and we have to rely that His plan, that He's not changing from, that He's told the devil what He's going to do, will be victorious. So we need to endure in our faith. We need to hold fast to that which God has called us to do, called us to serve Him. We're to serve Him until the end. I'm using kind of the analogy here that God plays chess while the devil is playing checkers. The Creator God knows checkmate before the game begins. You ever watch like young kids when they first learn chess? And then they might learn, like, one kid who thinks he's kind of smart will learn, I can put you in checkmate in 10 moves. You ever seen that with a kid? And I've watched where kid will say, ooh, I've learned this 10-move checkmate. And they'll learn it, and they'll do it, and it works once or twice, but then their friend wisens up to it a little bit, and it doesn't work anymore. I am just so amazed that our great God, since the foundation of the world, since the devil fell, said, devil, you're not going to win. I'm going to win. And in the end, I will be victorious. Here's the plan. Here's how it's going to happen. Let's see how it works. I always think about, you know, when somebody is just, they're stuck in sin, or their life is falling apart, and they just keep doing the same thing over and over again. You think about somebody who's addicted to drugs, and you go, why won't they realize that this is making their life falling apart? And you ask them, how's this working out for you? This is just something you go back to, and you go back to, and you go back to. It's destroying your life. Can't you see that? I think about the devil. He continues to play this game, knowing that in the end, God is going to win. I don't ever want to talk to the devil. But if I did, I'd say, how's this battle against the Lord working out for you? Especially at the end, right? In Proverbs chapter 16, verses 3 and 4, it says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself. Yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. I think about that and I think, man, God knows. And if we follow him, if we commit our works to the Lord, our thoughts will be established. If you want to know what the wise thing to do in this world is, trust the guy who's got this all under control. Go to the Lord. Ask him for help. I think about, you know, we have people in our lives like Ben-Hadad. Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, who was being this constant thorn in the flesh of the nation of Israel. He was the king who was Naaman's monarch, who we talked about just a little bit ago. We read that he was a man who worshipped at the temple of Ramon. That was Naaman. I'm referring back to some stuff that we were talking about before. Naaman said, there's the temple of Ramon, but this is my God, and him only will I serve. Naaman would have been one of those guys who was worshiping at the temple of Ramon, just like Ben-Hadad. And that was the Syrian god of war. And it's kind of interesting. We come to resemble what we worship most. What is it that's God in your life? If you are in the book, if Jesus Christ is your God and you worship the God of heaven and you want the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in your life, if daily you worship the Lord, you pray, you read the Bible, you're with saints, and your worship is directed towards God, he's going to change your heart. If what's on the throne of your heart and the thing that you worship is something that you watch on television, you can't go a day without it, you'll begin to resemble that. If you have sin in your heart and it becomes an addiction to you, you'll begin to worship that and you'll begin to resemble that. So it's important that we make sure that we follow the one who has already won the victory. I love it that when Ben-Hadad wanted to go and he wanted to attack the children of Israel, Elisha knew exactly what was going to happen. where they are going to be, and he told the children of Israel, this is the way it's going to happen. This is where the Syrians are going to be. Don't go there. And they go and they see exactly the word of Elisha was right. I love it that says, it's like God is telling Elisha what is happening in your bedroom. God knows. God knows everything. And because of that, we know that eternal victory is secured by Jesus Christ. So as the devil comes and he wants to attack us, we've got a God who tells us the end from the beginning. Let's turn in our Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Verses 10 to 12. Revelation 12, verses 10 to 12. In Revelation 12 and verse 10, it says, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in him. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Aren't you glad that God tells us right before it's even begun, here's my plan, here's how I'm going to do it. He's taken the devil's best laid plans that maybe he made in his bedroom, and he's told them as clear as day. We have a God who's already said the victory is secure. Here is how your enemy is going to be attacked. You know what the end is going to be. We live in a war zone. A spiritual war zone. There is a real God and his son Jesus Christ. There is a real adversary, the devil, who would oppose what God would do. We did not start this war. We were born into it. But we've chosen what we are choosing. We have chosen what side we're going to be on. Have you chosen the right side? Have you chosen the person who is playing chess while the enemy is playing checkers? I hope so. I understand. And I was sitting here this week and I was putting stuff together. And I said, I want to be ready for Sunday morning. I said, I know a lot of people, they'll forget a lot of what I said before they walk out the door. I said, I want one thing to stick in people's minds. That this week, when the tough times come, when they feel like they're surrounded by the thoughts of life, and the one thing that I want you to remember from this story is that while the devil is playing, God is playing, and in the end, checkmate. God wins. I love it that Elisha's prophetic information was incredibly accurate. He knew what was going on. It wasn't some guess. It wasn't some hocus pocus mystical thing. God was giving him information. He was telling him what would happen, and he was telling him what would transpire. And God was right. Imagine that. We get to Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 10. It's talking about the wicked enemies of God. And it says in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 10, it says, they take counsel together, but it will come to nothing. Speak the word, but it will not stand, for God is with us. As I read that, it's an awesome verse. I found that as I was studying, and I said, wow, that's great. When you have someone who is planning, who is devising, who is working their best to come in and ruin what God would do in your heart, and the enemy is putting traps in your way and things for you to fall over, as they're taking counsel together, as they're working together, in the end, it doesn't matter. When all this is said and over, whatever traps people lay against you, whatever they have sought to destroy you with, it doesn't matter because God is with you. And in the end, He will be victorious. If we want to have that kind of relationship with God, that we have a God that we can follow, that we can trust in, we need to make sure that we're close to Him like Elisha is. The believer must strive to hear from God with this degree of accuracy. Do you want to have a relationship with God? Is that something that you want? Something I would love in my life is that at the end, something I'm working on, something I think all of us need to work on and strive for, probably not something that we have attained yet, is that we could be like Elisha, a guy who I've said repeatedly, he had been in the presence of God. He was close to God, and men and the things that they had planned, devised against him, meant nothing to him. He was not impressed. I would love it if in my own personal life, I'd spent so much time with God. I read the Bible every day. I prayed every day. I got to know God. I fell in love with Him. When the hard times of life came, I consistently went to Him. Consistently. I got to know Him more and more and more, so that sweet, intimate time I spend with God completely transforms the person that I am. And I strive to hear from God like Elisha did, and no other person will make me take a second thought, because I've been in the presence of God and no one else will impress me. Time we spend with God, those of you who read God's Word every day, who pray, who are committed to having that relationship with God, know that it becomes so precious, so sweet. The time of prayer, time in God's Word. You read a story like this from 2 Kings chapter 6, and you hear it again and again and again. Oh, I love that story. I love the way God works. I love what God is doing. He is amazing. We need to think about what some of the things that we should remember when we are surrounded by the enemy. Elisha became the focus of the enemy. All of his attention and hostility of Ben-Hadad was on him. And maybe his god, Ramon, wasn't too happy with what Elisha was doing either. And so the attention of the Syrian army became on Elisha, and they would surround him, and their plot and their plan was to destroy him. It's kind of interesting that the enemy was so worried about Elisha. Even God's enemies acknowledge that the man of God is the best defense that Israel has. You ever thought about the fact if the devil is attacking you, if the trials and temptations of life are going against you, that means that you're dangerous. That God's at work in your life, and that doesn't make the devil very happy. If you think about it, the devil would be so happy if you as a Christian, all you do is come to church, sit down, say, and get up and leave and say, okay, I did my time for the week. And you went out and spent the rest of the week acting like the world, not paying attention to the Bible during the week, not telling others about Jesus Christ, not giving praise to Him. But if you get busy doing the Word of God, the devil knows, and he's kind of in trouble, because he knows he's got to try to attack you, he's got to try to trip you up, he's got to try to put stumbling blocks in your way. But then when he does that, when he begins to give you trials and temptations, and you rely on the Lord is going to grow you. And he's going to conform you to the image of your son. And he's going to take the testings and the trials in which you came back to him. And he's going to use that to refine you, to work in your life. So the devil's got a problem any way he looks at it. In the Bible, I'll leave you with this. There are 365 direct instructions to not fear. I didn't count them. I got this from another source. But there are 365 instructions. And we could sit here all day and go over them and go over them. I think about Joshua chapter 1. I hope that maybe that's one that you've committed to memory. And where it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." But in Psalm chapter 118, we have one of those places. Don't be afraid. Even if the enemy surrounds you, even if they've come to destroy you, God is with you. And he knows the way out. He can help you get through this. Psalm 118, in verses 6 to 9, say, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? For the Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Today I ask you, we are in the middle of a spiritual battle. The enemy is plotting how he can come down and strike you when you're at your weakest. He's plotting how he can set up a trap to have you fall in. He's plotting what he can do to ruin your day. And if he's doing that, he doesn't want you to be serving the Lord. He's making moves. He's got his servants. He's trying to wreck what God would do in your life. But don't be afraid. The Lord has promised he's with you. Don't be afraid. God has promised he will have the victory. Before the game, before the battle even begin, God said to the devil, "Checkmate. Now let's play." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that as we look at this amazing story, that throughout the whole thing, we see the adversary moving and planning and scheming. But there's one man, Elisha, who said, "Greater is my God." And as the enemy, Ben-Hadad, would try his best to thwart God's plans, you continued to work. Lord, I thank you that your plans included from the beginning your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I thank you for verses like we looked at in Revelation chapter 12 today, where our God is victorious. Lord, I praise you. I thank you that you know the end from the beginning. Help us to get acquainted with that. Help us to, as we are being tried on every side, to endure in the faith. Lord, our trials are real. Our trials will come. We need your help. I pray that you'll help us and encourage us. Give us strength for each day. Lord, maybe there was somebody here today that needed to remember that you've already won the battle. Help us to acknowledge that you are so good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.